What a great way to start your day, right? Did anybody feel attracted to the phrase that you hear his voice? Anybody? Yeah. Lots. Well, good, because that's where we're going this morning. When I did the homework in day four, I believe it was, it's just packed. That whole passage, John 10, is packed with so many wonderful truths about Jesus as our shepherd. But that hearing the shepherd's voice just came alive to me. So we're going to delve into hearing the voice of God today. It's clear throughout the Bible that we were created for this two-way conversation with the Lord. He talks and we listen. We talk and he listens. My husband and I are going to celebrate our 50th wedding anniversary this summer. Yes, it's a miracle. And you'd think that we would have the communication thing down by now, right? 50 years or more practicing. But I think sometimes we've been together so long that we just assume what the other one's going to say next. Anybody else? And so then we don't listen well. And we have to repeat ourselves. And if we've been walking with the Lord a long time, sometimes that can happen to us as well. So whether you've been listening to him for 50 years or you've just gotten started, it's always good, I think, to examine how does God speak and how well are we listening. One author wrote this: nothing could ever be wilder or more wonderful than the human capacity to hear God's voice. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to experience the wild and wonderful joy of hearing God's voice. We're going to go back through some of these passages that we already did, but I just want to really emphasize the sheep hear his voice and how he calls his own sheep by name, leads them out. The sheep follow him. Why? Because they hear, they know his voice. A stranger, it says, will not follow. They will flee because they do not know the voice of strangers. And it continues on in verse 7. Truly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. I love this part. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. It's remarkable. I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them in, and they too will listen to my voice. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. You think he's trying to tell us something in this? And I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. So we're going to make four observations that I'm just going to pull out of this text, and then we'll build upon them. The first one being pretty obvious. We've got to believe he speaks and expect to hear. I've got to believe he speaks, and we expect to hear. Jesus felt the need to repeat it five times in this one passage. So it must be a little slow getting through to us. A.W. Tozer said this: it's the nature of God to speak. And what good would it be for him to be speaking if we weren't designed to hear him? And how can we have a personal relationship with God unless he speaks specifically, personally, consciously into our lives? And if you have said yes to Jesus and a relationship with him to his salvation, then you have heard his voice. And that's just the beginning. I love that Jesus quoted the Old Testament when he said, man does not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. So we need to hear him to live his way. And Jesus said, every sheep, did you notice that? Every sheep hears the voice of the shepherd. He didn't say a few or a few of the fluffy, super fluffy kind of sheep, you know. But there is a learning curve. I learned that the sheep actually in Jesus' day, they had to learn to recognize the voice of their shepherd and their name. We don't automatically recognize his voice. Recall the story of the boy Samuel, who was living with Eli, the priest, and he woke up repeatedly hearing his name, Samuel, being called, and he went to Eli thinking it was Eli calling him. Happened three times until the priest finally recognized God was speaking to the child. And so he told Samuel, go back, lie down, and if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And Samuel did that. He grew up to be a mighty prophet, so accurate in hearing God's voice that scripture said of him, the Lord didn't let any of his words fail. Wow. But he had to learn. He had to start somewhere. Observation number two, not only believe he speaks and you expect to hear, but listen for the relationship because he speaks from it and he speaks for it. Did you notice in the passage how often the shepherd said, I know my sheep, I call them my own? You sense the love, the possessiveness, the protectiveness there, that he knows their name? I think it's just great that they named their sheep, kind of like we do our pets, you know? They were intimate with the gathering. Each sheep was individual to the shepherd. And because our shepherd speaks from a heart of love and intimacy, Jesus' voice is kind. It's consistent. And listening to his voice is for more than getting an answer to a problem or a direction for the future. It's first and foremost that we would know God intimately. For that is the key to the abundant life that Jesus promises. And know this, God is so personal, like Jennifer was speaking about. He speaks in ways sometimes most suited for your personality, so you won't always hear him just like your sister or your friend would. I have a friend who's very observant. She's detail-oriented. When God speaks to her, it's primarily through her surroundings, and it's almost like this treasure hunt that they go on together every day. Where I can be a bit oblivious to my surroundings and a little loud at times. So God speaks differently to me. I love time in his word. I love time in worship. So I hear him speak most often there. Once when I was in worship, I kept saying to the Lord, I just want to please you. It kind of been my mantra for a while. God, let my life be pleasing to you. But this time, after saying it for many years, he responded. He said to me, Karen, you are pleasing. And it was kind of jarring. It's like, oh my, now what? You know, that had been my whole goal for so long. And if I achieve that goal, where do we go from here? And I think that was his point. He was very lovingly telling me that it was time to move on. In my relationship with him, less striving, more resting, less master-servant, more friendship partnership. But what really moved me is I believe I heard him say my name. And so it was so awe-inspiring, so sweet, and my love for him went deeper still. He speaks to draw us closer to him. Hearing God's voice, point number three, we need to be ready to obey. I think Jennifer spoke to this as well. Sheep aren't particularly smart animals, but they are really good followers. And no insult intended, but even the most intelligent among us in this room, compared to God's intelligence, well, they're sheep, right? But the good news is that they're good followers, and so we as his sheep can be as well. If he knows so much more than we, why would we not trust him when he's leading us? God's love language is trust. Remember the Shema? I think that's how Taylor said it. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength. Well, this important command, recall, begins with that word Shema, which means hear, and it also means obey. That if you're really hearing, that you also are obeying. And I wonder, could it be we don't tune in to God's voice all the time because we kind of like running things ourselves? Anybody? Maybe we suspect God has a different route for us to take, a different attitude, and we just tune him out, go our own way. Because when we hear, then we're accountable to obey, right? Jesus said about 15 different times, he who has ears, let him hear, right? Let him obey. God was very loud when he spoke at the Mount of Transfiguration, remember? And he said, this is my beloved son, listen, listen to him. So there needs to be a posture of our hearts when we're a good listener. We want our hearts stamped with that big yes beforehand, not to say, okay, I'm going to listen to your advice, and if I like it, and it's better than my own advice, then I might follow you, and you kind of have it, you know, up in the air. You have a yes in your spirit. Some teach that when God goes silent on you, perhaps go back to the last thing you heard him speak. See, have I obeyed there? I find when I'm not obeying him, he's just on repeat. He keeps saying the same thing until I act upon it. I like Mary's word to the wine stewards. Remember at the wedding at Cana when she told them, just do whatever he tells you, right? Such a good word. It worked out really well when they did whatever Jesus told them to do. So be ready to obey, and then we tune in to God's voice. Number four, reject voices that are counter to God's. The thief, the robber, we know that voice trying to lure us away, the sheep from their shepherd. And I like that Jesus claimed his sheep do not follow the voice of strangers. So we have the ability, right, to distinguish God's voice and the enemy's voice. God's voice and the world's voice. God's voice and our own voice. And I think the challenge of our faith is not so much our inability to hear his voice, but our willingness, perhaps, to listen to other voices. There are so many voices competing for our attention, and it's hard to hear God when our minds are whirl with worries and cares. Martha, Martha, right? You're worried and bothered about so many things. Come and sit a while. Those things that compete for our attention also ultimately go after our affection. So how can we differentiate between God's voice and the enemy's voice and our own voice? And you might just want to take a picture of this. I'm not going to elaborate on it, but there are some clues. When God speaks, our primary feeling that we get is deep peace. It's calm. There's a weightiness to God's voice. It has an impact on our heart. Whereas the enemy's voice can cause confusion and anxiety and just isolating. Our own voice is often self-serving, prideful. When God approaches us, he usually uses a gentle, persistent whisper. It's inviting. It can pop into your head. And you're not thinking that way, and it just comes from the outside almost. Where the enemy's voice can be loud, intrusive, pushy. One time I was standing up at a retreat, speaking in front of people, when this loud voice entered my head, shut up and sit down. It was just like, I don't know, my mother, come to me or something. And it so threw me that I quickly wrapped up. And I went and sat down. Well, I threw the whole retreat off the schedule. And I learned, don't listen to that voice. It's not the Lord's. Our own voice often can just align with our own you know, typical internal monologue. In response to sin, when God speaks, it'll bring conviction. It'll be specific. It'll lead you into repentance, where the enemy will be condemning and vague. Oh, you're just so stupid. It'll bring shame, that sort of thing. God doesn't speak like that. Our own response to sin often is to compare. Oh, well, I'm doing better than her. Kind of thing, or we give ourselves excuses, right? The timing of God, many times, and I'm going to speak to this in a minute, there'll be more clarity ahead. So he's patient in revealing his path for us, where the enemy often will be very urgent and demand instant action. And ourselves is very situational. It's just what serves us best, I think. So hope that's helpful in some ways. And we're going to see more of the tone of God's voice as we look at some different ways he speaks. All the ways he speaks, it's life-giving. It's like you come alive inside when he speaks to you. So in Scripture, God spoke in so many ways. These are just really a few, but the main ones. Often through manifestations and signs like the burning bush, right? Or maybe a miraculous event like the handwriting on the wall. There are ever days when you wish you'd just get up and there be your instructions handwritten on your whiteboard from God. He usually doesn't speak that way to us. He spoke through angelic visitations, an audible voice. More than often, he speaks to us through Scripture, through that inner voice of the Holy Spirit, through other people and nature and music and circumstances, through dreams and visions even, his presence speaks. So we have about enough time to look at five of these ways this morning. I have some biblical references on the screen, but I'm going to share from my own experience, and I hope that's okay. I'm a little self-conscious about it, but when I look at people like Paul or Moses or Ezekiel and how God spoke to them, then I can give myself an excuse on. They were the fluffy sheep, right? And I'm not, except I did look at myself in the mirror this morning and I thought if I just perm my hair a little bit, maybe I'd look a little sheepish. But I chose some of the ways that I find God speaks to me the most in hopes that you will relate. They'll bring up times in your life he did as well. Number one for me is Scripture, and I think for most of us, that's why you're here. In 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 is such a great scripture to point out all the ways God breathes on us as we open his word. It's good for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. So why? That we are equipped for every good work. Another way to put this scripture that I learned a long time ago that I really liked is that God's word, when he speaks to us through his word, it will tell us how, what is right and what is not right, how to get it right, and how to stay right. It's fairly important for us to know, right? Life-changing to be in Bible study. And so I just encourage you, you're staying the course, to keep coming. It's so important to open God's word, not only on your own, but together in a group like you do. It's the best way to learn how to know and hear God. Without my keeping my nose in this book, I would probably just create a God in my own image, one that kind of fit, made me fit with the culture and the times. I'd be in so much trouble, I know, if it weren't for this. I think that's why God called me to teach us, because I need my nose in it all the time to keep going straight on with him. How else would we know how God speaks to people? How did they experience God? What was it like when they heard from God? How did they respond? So I encourage you, you will thank yourself one day that you stayed the course here. And as you're reading God's word, like Jennifer pointed out again, words will jump off the page often. It's the way God wants to impact. Say, stop. Stop for a minute. Don't just keep pushing through the end of your study, but stay here with me a second and let yourself soak in what he's saying. God's voice will never contradict Scripture, but it will clarify, it will elaborate, it will activate, and it will help you apply it. There's a couple of words in the New Testament about that describe word. One is logos. It's God's living word in Jesus, the word of God made flesh, right? It also refers to this, the logos, the written word of God. Another word is rhema, God's spoken word that's living and active. And it's the one that's used in Romans 10:17 that says, faith comes by hearing, hearing the word, the voice of God. Creates faith inside of us. And I've found that God often speaks through the written word this way. When you start downloading scriptures into your soul, when you memorize passages, it likes it gives the Holy Spirit language to speak to you. And sometimes passages will just rise up just when you need it, right? Anybody testify of that? Just when you need it, a scripture will come to mind. And that is the logos with the rhema word on it, you know? Soon after an unexpected death in my family, I returned to my Bible study class, and the teacher on the video was speaking on the sovereignty of God in a way that just made a lot of questions rise up in me over that death. And so tears started to come. I had to run out of the room, and there was our sanctuary was adjacent to it back in Ardmore, and just a jumble of emotions, questions, what ifs poured out of me. And I was in that state when God spoke a scripture, one I knew, one you're familiar with, but it's not anywhere where my heart was at the moment. And it came with such authority, yet gentleness. It was the verse, be still and know that I am God. And this overwhelming peace came on me. It silenced that chaos, all those other voices. He did not answer one question. Give me one reason of why this happened. But it didn't matter because his peace came over me. God will speak through his word and perform it. It has the power to do what it says it will do. Number two, another way is through direct and audible communication. I'm sure you've heard the story of Ezekiel and the small, still voice, correct? God came in many ways, earthquake, wind, fire, but he spoke in this gentle whisper. And I would say that this is probably the most conversational way God speaks. Maybe in your quiet times, that still small voice will speak into your dailies, nudge to call someone, or somebody comes to mind to pray for, someone you need to help, apologize to perhaps, encourage. The audible voice, it's a little different from the whisper in that it seems to come from the outside for me, where the still small voice rises up from the inside. Now, most of us don't hear what we would call an audible voice, like at Jesus' baptism or Paul on the road to Damascus, but sometimes it feels like that. You know, inside your soul, it's like you hear his voice. And when he speaks to me that way, it's usually because he needs to get my attention, to make a strong impression. Often it's regarding maybe a major change that's coming up. And these are the times that I need to take what he's speaking and go through scripture, affirm it with scripture or pastors or other godly people. I might need to fast or have some ongoing prayer, asking God for more clarity. Some of you know the story of how I came to author a Bible study on heaven. It all began when I was home one day by myself praying out loud about something I don't know what, when the word write, W-R-I-T-E, not the other right. He wasn't agreeing with me. He was speaking right. It just exploded in my head. I plopped down on the hearth, was right behind me, and I burst into tears. I was like, what was that? It's like he had to interrupt my prayer time to get a word in edgewise with me. But it came with such an impact that it helped me stay the course over not only the next few weeks, but the years that were to come. Often the Lord will give you just one word, right? Not the entire revelation. And I thank him for that, because sometimes if he gave it all to us, we'd back off really quick. But he gives you one thing. I think sometimes to see, do you value what he's saying enough to continue to seek the full meaning? I didn't know what he wanted me to write, how he wanted me to write, when. I didn't know any of those things. So I began to search my journals to see if he had spoken anything earlier that might shed some light, and he had. I remembered how several people had told me I needed to write, but I ignored them because I had a job. I knew I would have to talk to my husband because this would affect him and God would have to speak to him. He wouldn't probably take my word for it. And he did that as well. It was a journey. It took some time, a process, because again, God is all about relationship. He's not just barking out orders. His voice can change the course of your life. It led to my quitting my career to write and to go into ministry, but it always is to lead us to that abundant life Jesus spoke of in this passage, the one he has planned for you, those works that were planned before you were even born, one you may not have chosen, felt equipped to do, or foreseen coming. Scripture tells us that he leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He speaks so we can follow him. Human voices. We know God speaks in the Old Testament through the prophet, right? That was the primary way. But he still speaks through people today. I bet everyone in here could tell a story about how the pastor read their mail, right? How did he know that? Who told him about what I was going through? But God will speak through other people right into what we're struggling with. It's often to affirm and confirm what you're going through. It's usually not just like brand new. Usually it's not cloaked in "thus saith the Lord" to you. Often the people that will speak a direct word from the Lord to you and encourage you don't even know that it's God behind it. That's happened to me so many times. And I love how Kay, author, a Bible teacher, she used to say, God will speak through any old donkey. Right? So you got to pay attention to the donkeys in your life. God may speak to you through them. But it brings such joy, doesn't it? Such amazement that God would speak that way to you through another human being, that he would lay you on their heart. And we can intentionally develop an ear to hear from God on behalf of others. It's in Isaiah 50, verse 4, one of my favorite passages about how the Lord has given me the tongue of those who are instructed to know how to sustain the weary with the word. What a great way to start the day. Speak, Lord, your servant's listening. Give me a word today to encourage someone. Sustain somebody who is weary. On day 5 of your homework, you were encouraged to pray with in various ways, but one of the ways was with a circle of friends. You were to begin with a time of silence. We all love that when we're with our friends, right? But give you a chance to listen, let God speak. And then you got to share that, what you sensed. Maybe you saw a picture. Maybe you heard a scripture. You share it with the group. And I love this because inevitably somebody in the group who doesn't think they hear from God will be like, oh my gosh, that's exactly what I heard. I felt the same thing. And so they become aware of how God speaks to them. I would often do this on prayer retreats, and we'd start with asking God a question. And then everybody would have their input. We'd craft a prayer from that. And then we'd pray it together. And it's when prayer arises out of God's voice and you pray it in agreement with others, it is powerful. God will answer those prayers that come from his heart through you and others. So God speaks through one another to us. He also speaks in dreams and visions, and this one's a little bit different for many of us. There's so many times God speaks through dreams and scripture. I love how he's doing that now to Muslim people. Have you heard of all the stories about how he invades their dreams and they come to faith in Jesus? God's dreams are usually very vivid, and though you think you'll never forget them, it's best to write them down immediately because you want all the detail. You want to pray about them. You want to think, contemplate it with the Lord. Maybe look at scripture, share with somebody that you trust to get a little insight. Also, if you wake up in the morning and you have a song in your heart, maybe not one you heard yesterday on the radio, maybe it's been a few years, but you hear it the next day, you might just ask the Lord, are you singing over me? Is there a purpose in this? Because you know he does that. Scripture tells us he will exalt over you with singing, even secular songs. It doesn't have to be How Great Thou Art. You know, it can just be a good old 70s love song. And every lyric does not have to fit for it to be God. He may just be loving on you and you're not even aware of it. Visions also are a way God speaks. They're more like wide awake dreams. They may just be like a picture that pops into your head. Or do I have any senior moms in here today? Anybody? Nobody, you're babies, right? There's one, yay, one. Well, you'll appreciate this because when my firstborn, my son, was a senior in high school, I cried over every last event, whether it was a final football game or a school play. He was even in the show choir and they sang Frosty the Snowman at a bank and I was there just, totally embarrassing myself and him. But that spring, I attended a retreat, and the speaker was teaching on how Jesus faced everything that we do so he can identify with our pains and struggles. And we were asked to close our eyes and ask Jesus how he had experienced what we were currently going through. And I had come in late. That's my excuse. I was a little irritated. And so I kind of sarcastically quipped, okay, Jesus, when did your son go off to college? And he did not zap me, thank goodness. But a vivid scene immediately popped into my mind, and it was Jesus at the Ascension. And his boys had surrounded him, his sons, and they were saying goodbye. True, he left them, but the separation was the same kind of pain, right? Things wouldn't be the same. And as I was observing that scene, Jesus' words to them from an earlier time came to mind. It is good for you that I go away. And what a word for me. I knew he was saying it was going to be good for my son. It was going to be good for our relationship. And it gave me such joy and peace. And I did not cry again until graduation night, and my husband started crying. And of course, you have to cry when your husband cries, right? So it was a powerful healing moment for me. So pay attention to those things, to dreams and to visuals, to songs. He is a shepherd that wants to nurture us, care for us. God also speaks through his presence. When we simply just draw near to him in worship, right? Or we're in the hospital room or in prayer, his presence can come in and just transcend words. And somehow in those moments, he communicates with us what we need to know without words. Like a direct download. You know when you do iPhone to iPhone, it's just like his word gets in you somehow just from him being present with you. There's some scriptures that I have up about how Jesus told his disciples that when persecution came, they weren't to worry about what they were to speak because they'd be given the words at that moment by the Spirit. And Paul said when he stood trial that the Lord stood by him to strengthen him so that he could deliver the message. I had this happen to me in the most marvelous way. I'd gone to Austin. A group of men and women had done the heaven study and invited me to come there for a question and answer. And soon after I arrived, a woman came up to me to warn me that the men in the room had some really hard questions for me. The associate pastor who had led their group did not believe in hell. And so when they got to the hell chapter, he ripped into it, and he also discredited me. And so she said they were saying things like, "Who does she think she is?" I was like, "I am so glad I came this way." And I ran very quickly to this little powder room that was there and got down on my knees. Wasn't to throw up, though I think I probably could have, but it was to pray, very more like crying out, "Help, God, help, help me escape." But when it came time to begin, I was standing in front of all of them when I heard someone approach me to the left. And so I turned to see who was coming, but nobody was there. I felt the presence. It was the craziest sensation. I even heard footsteps, but no one was there. And I later knew that just had to be the Lord standing beside me. He gave me courage. He even gave me words that I did not know were in me. Because when I started to introduce the study, to my surprise, I started talking about my husband. Was not planned, but when I told him how I came to write the study, I told about his great support for me and some of the funny things he'd said to me during the 3-year writing stint, like, "We're going to be in heaven before you finish this on heaven. Get after it." Then they started to ask the questions, and they were very benign questions, like, "Who's your favorite author?" You know, things like that kind of took me aback. I was like, "Oh, well," no one prepared to answer these kind of questions. There was nothing combative, nothing of substance really, until a man in the back began to reverently share that his daughter, who was not a believer, had died recently. And he wanted to know, did I think she was in hell? And a light went on. No wonder the resistance, right? And words flowed out of me that I know were from Jesus. I didn't have it in me. Wow, maybe he's here right now. Did not have that kind of scriptural knowledge that they were full of hope. They were full of love and mercy, but rooted in truth, and it was well received, and God did a healing work. Afterwards, the woman informant came up to me and was very irritated, and she said, "I just don't understand why they didn't ask you those hard questions. Did you cast some kind of spell on them?" I was like, "Wow, no, but maybe, just maybe, the Lord had directed me to speak about my husband, to tender those men's hearts towards me, thinking maybe of their wives and how they would like to be treated. Maybe, just maybe, his presence there impacted them. What do you think? The Lord, when you have hard things to face, discussions, maybe you want to share your faith with someone, ask him to come alongside you, to put the words in you to say, because he will. He has promised that he will. I love this quote by G. Campbell Morgan. "Wherever there are hearts waiting on the voice of God, the voice is to be heard." So I want to end with a few questions just to put up on the screen. You might want to share some of these with your group Do I expect the Lord to speak to me? Am I tuned into his voice? Am I ready to follow him? Do I have that yes in my spirit? Will I tune out other voices that want to lure me away from him? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Dallas Willard said this, listening and following, that's it. All the vast libraries of theological thought, millennia of sermons, the relentless chatter of Christendom can be condensed down to just four surprisingly simple words, listen and follow Jesus. Amen? Let me pray for us. Father, thank you. Thank you that you make it simple, but Lord, that you want relationships, so you draw us in so many ways. And you just keep us growing as you sometimes change your language to us just to delight us and thrill us and deepen our love for you. So I pray that in our conversations today and in the week to come, that you will surprise us in the multitude of ways of how we hear you speak. We love you and we pray for this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you.